Well, summer is a great time for travel, and we're lucky to have a lot of great places to visit in the upper Midwest. Larry Mueller here. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It can be great to plan for and take a long trip in a faraway destination, but it's also a lot of fun just to explore a new place that isn't so far from home, maybe for a long summer weekend. Mary Bergen is a Madison-based travel writer. She specializes in Wisconsin and Midwestern destinations. And we thought the week leading up to the 4th of July weekend was a perfect time to talk with her about her recent article, Europe in the Midwest, Tiny Towns Still Celebrate Their Old World Identities. And Mary Bergen, always a great pleasure to have you join us. Thanks.
Larry, it's nice to be here. Thank you for asking.
Well, you recently wrote an article for the Chicago Tribune. It's called Europe in the Midwest, Tiny Towns Still Celebrate Their Old World Identities. And is that something unique to the Midwest, or is it?
I tend to think we were a pretty big melting pot of cultures and an area with communities, both large and small, that tend to celebrate the roots of their heritage.
Yeah, I would agree. How do some towns retain their cultural identity so clearly, while just others just don't seem to?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think with any, especially smaller community, and the article I wrote for the Chicago Tribune concentrates on rural Midwest communities that have done a good job of preserving identity, cultural identity. I think it's a challenge for any community to stay vibrant if a highway is rerouted, if a major industry leaves town, that type of thing. But then beyond that, I think that you have to be pretty forward-thinking in terms of what you want to be as a community. Some communities don't think this through in a real deep level. Others take who they are and run with it.
Yeah. Mary Bergen, our guest today, we're talking about Midwest towns with a European flair, both in and out of Wisconsin. It's in the Midwest. Maybe you have visited some of the towns that Mary wrote about. We're going to be talking about Elkhorn, Iowa, and Fulton, Illinois, and Herman, Missouri, and Lindsborg, Kansas, and New Glarus, Wisconsin, and Spring Grove, Minnesota. Those are the towns that we may zero in on a bit. Maybe you visited one of those towns. Tell us about it. Do you have any other suggestions for a Midwestern town that really embraces its ethnic heritage? Maybe you have an idea for a great 4th of July getaway weekend in Wisconsin relating to it. And if you're willing to share your secret spot, we'd love to hear that. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org with your comment or question. Or go to my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and you can ask your question or post your, maybe get a photo from one of those towns. Post that as well on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. So you've selected half dozen towns, Mary, as I think I went through them, Elkhorn, Iowa, and sort of Denmark, kind of. How did you come up with the towns first?
I decided to challenge myself with smaller communities because at first I was thinking of communities that are better known, Holland, Michigan, mm-hmm. New Ulm, Minnesota has great German heritage, but I thought it would be a better challenge if I could get smaller than that, because I think that the smaller communities who do this well tend to not be as heralded because they don't have the big marketing budgets that larger communities do. And my goal was to find something special in six Midwestern states and make each a different ethnic, background.
Origin.
Elkhorn, Iowa was a wonderful delight near Omaha, Nebraska. So we're talking Western Iowa. And it's called Denmark on the Prairie by filmmakers in Denmark who came out to do a documentary, two parts, last year and this year. So that's one indication that this is a community that goes above and beyond. Mm-hmm. If you're attracting the attention of your native country, it's also the home for the Museum of Danish America. This could have been in a lot larger community mm-hmm. in the United States, but no, it's here. And it just recently opened an expansion because of the number of artifacts that are here and that type of thing. There's an 1848 windmill, 60 feet tall, in the downtown
still standing.
Part of Elkhorn. And Elkhorn is a mere 662 people in population. So all these things, I think, suggest that there's more going on here than the average community.
Yeah.
Certainly of the same size.
Absolutely. And the town reflects it? The look of the town, is it reflected?
The look of the town, sure. In all cases here, and including New Glarus, people who have been to New Glarus will mm-hmm. notice the chalet design mm-hmm. of a lot of the buildings and these great fiberglass cows that have been decorated and placed around town, not just in New Glarus, but other parts of Greene County, too. But it would be wrong to say that, everything in the community, of course, is true to
right.
the heritage. It's not realistic.
Yeah.
But it's certainly evident.
I don't know if beer is something connected with the Swiss or not, but there's some pretty good beer down that way.
Right. We've certainly, connected it ourselves with, Spotted Cow and all the good things there.
Moon Man,
yeah. And, the New Glarus Bakery
yeah.
is a gem because of some of the bakery that it sells, the almond horns.
Really good.
Yeah, really good. Really rich.
Sue and Menasha, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm calling about Decorah, Iowa. I grew up there, and it has a wonderful Norwegian heritage. The Vesterheim Museum is there with a folk art school and all sorts of wonderful things. The community, of course, embraces this Norwegian heritage quite extensively, and they have a festival the last weekend in July, Nordic Fest. Maybe some people have attended it. And there's all sorts of ethnic food and dancers, and it's just such a great time. And the people who have grown up there really, it's a time of great homecoming for many people who have lived elsewhere. So it's just a great event, and that Norwegian heritage really carries on. My two kids took Norwegian in college, which is probably pretty useless, but they just felt so embraced by the culture that they continued it in college.
Ah, that's wonderful. Thank you, Sue. Thank you very much. And you've, I'm sure, been to Decorah, Iowa.
I sure have. And Sue makes so many good points. For my purposes, Sue, that was too big of a community. It was over 8,000 people. So that's why I went to Spring Grove, just up the road about 20 miles. But certainly... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, when I lived there, I think it was only about 7,000 people. So I think it has grown substantially.
But I apologize. We're just having fun.
Right,
we're just having fun. But Decorah is a wonderful community with deep ethnic pride in its roots. But in Spring Grove, you would agree, I'm yes. going to guess it would be the same thing. And yes. even to the point where the public swimming pool has a tilting replica of a Viking ship as a water feature. It's wonderful. And the summer immersion camps for kids to learn the language, some of the ethnic foods, how to make them, history, dance.
Oh, yeah, that's wonderful.
It's to ensure that this doesn't get lost as generations go
yeah.
on.
It's so interesting. For our 25th wedding anniversary, we were going to go to Norway because we had never been there. And so we took our kids. We thought, well, what the heck, it'd be really fun to take the kids. And our son Kurt and my husband were up fishing on the Voss River. And when we returned, Kurt wrote this paper in high school about he felt like he had this sort of out-of-body experience with his with his, you know, his ethnic heritage relatives up there fishing in the mountains and so with the spring water. And so I think it's really something that to cultivate in your children too. So those are not boring things to take for, to not take children to. They're wonderful. So thank you for your time.
Those are wonderful memories for both of you.
Yeah, thank you, Sue. I have to tell you one little story, a Norwegian story of a kid I went to grade school with, Jimmy Strand. Was in eighth grade, and he went to Norway to visit his relatives and family and fell in love with Norway. And I think came home for a little while, but then he went right back, has lived his whole life in Norway. So he, he really embraced it.
You know, I felt a little bit that way when I went to Germany for the first time. I had, you know, I have a little bit of a German-Polish background, but I felt at home almost right away in Bavaria because of the food, the people, the landscape. It was something I didn't expect.
Yeah, yeah. Well, again, Sue, thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. We're visiting today about Midwest towns with a European flair. And our guest is Mary Bergen. Mary's been with us many times. She's a Madison-based travel writer. And hoping that you'll join in with your questions about the towns she's indicated and also offer some of your own. We'll be back with Mary right after this look at the news. Please stay with us on the Ideas Network. Summer's a great time for travel, and you're lucky to have a lot of great destinations right here in the upper Midwest. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network. And great to have with us Mary Bergen, who is a Midwest-based travel writer. She specializes in Wisconsin and Midwestern destinations. And she's the author of the article, Hungry for Wisconsin, A Tasty Guide for Travelers. She's also author of the book Sidetracked in Wisconsin, A Guide for Thoughtful Travelers, and most recently, Eat Smart in Germany, another of her books. And her writing can be found on her website. You can find it there. It's actually the best, I think, to do is roadstraveled.com. That's the place to go. And Mary, always great to have you with us.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. And we're talking today about Midwest towns with a European flair. Mary wrote a column for the Chicago Tribune called Europe in the Midwest, the tiny towns that celebrate their old world identities. And we've mentioned a couple of them, Elkhorn, Iowa, and Spring Grove, Minnesota was another one that we kind of mentioned as well. Mary in Rolling Stone, Minnesota has a comment, though, so and has been waiting a long time. So let's go to her. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Great, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Well, on my mind is a big interest in this article that's just been done. And the comments just in the last half hour by you and Mary regarding how some communities retain their culture for a long time while others don't. I'm sitting in Rolling Stone, Minnesota. It is about 10 miles out of Winona, and Winona is, what, 35 miles north along the Mississippi north of La Crosse.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to invite Mary and everybody to come visit Rolling Stone because it is still, per capita, one of the largest communities formed by Luxembourger immigrants, immigrants from the Grand Duchy, began arriving here 1855-ish. And Rolling Stone is proud of that heritage. It has, remarkably so, it has maintained its culture. It's much more diverse now in ethnicity than it was even 40, 50 years ago. But it has retained contact with the Grand Duchy, with Europe, in various ways for 150 years. And now it boasts of a Luxembourg Museum. There's a sister city exchange with a town in Luxembourg. Books have been written about Luxembourg. Movies have been made. National TV of Luxembourg has been here to film. etc. And we have three structures in this neighborhood on the National Register of Historic Places, each one connected with that Luxembourger identity. The museum has a lot of that information, but local kids learn it through school and various projects. One other thing to mention, Mary, everyone, you're invited. Talk about tasty food of the Midwest.
Mm-hmm.
The annual Tripen Fest, a blood sausage fest, is held each the last Sunday in January. And St. Nicholas comes, too, with goodies. So there's Rolling Stone.
There's Rolling Stone. Well, Mary Bergen, have you ever been there?
I have not been there. I am glad to have it on my radar. So thanks to Mary for calling.
Oh,
anything?
Yeah.
I wonder if there's anything happening there in summer that would be considered an ethnic fest. Maybe she's not on the line.
I am on the line.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mary, as such, I would recommend any time come to town and pass through the church, which is on the National Register, the cemetery with, of course, inscriptions born in Luxembourg. But there will be several open house events at another historic site on the National Register, a stone house called the Marnach House. It was built by Luxembourger immigrants, 1857-58, and it was restored by the government of Luxembourg about 21 years ago.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, they put about, I would say in dollars, $500,000 into it.
Wow, that's tremendous.
It is so tremendous. They flew craftspeople over. And by the way, our National Luxembourg Center is in Wisconsin, Belgium, Wisconsin. Actually, that's kind of misleading. In Belgium, or right outside of Belgium, is the National Luxembourg American Cultural Center. But it radiates out. Its job is to coordinate us. So you can contact there, that place.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other Luxembourger settlements. There's a Luxembourg, Wisconsin, Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's another wonderful settlement in south of Dubuque, St. Donatus, or Donatus, Iowa.
Oh.
Like I say, come. There are picnics all the time. But the next big open house of the Marnach House will be this month, July 19th, there's a fall festival in Rolling Stone and at that house. And then St. Nicholas will come in December. And, of course, January. Mary, you've got to come and eat tripen.
There you go, Mary. You got the invitations there.
The invitations official. I'm thinking about how important sister city relationships can be,
mm-hmm,
to cities small and large throughout the United States.
Mary, thank you again for calling. I really appreciate your call. I wanted to mention, we got Tim in Janesville. I'll give Tim a chance to join in. Tim, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi.
Hello.
I just wanted to mention my hometown of Jasper, Indiana, is a town that's got a very strong German heritage. And as far as summer travel goes, they have a street festival every year, the first weekend of August, Straßenfest, coming up here. And chances are, if you get down there in the next week or two after the 4th of July is over, you're far more likely to see, black, yellow, and red flags than you are red, white, and blue, because they're getting ready for Straßenfest. I don't know. The whole county really is like that. But Jasper is the largest town in the county.
Now, how big roughly is Jasper?
About 12,000 to 15,000 people.
Okay, there we go. All right, thanks a lot for calling.
It was hard to come up with to decide on which German community to feature in this article, and because I was going small, I decided on Herman, Missouri. In mainly because when it was set up in the 1830s, it was set up by the German Settlement Society of Philadelphia to preserve German heritage as the generations would go on. And so that is what's done there now. There's a lot of winemaking in the area, too. You wouldn't say this is the Rhine Valley, but wine has become a draw in addition to the German heritage in the area.
So that's Herman, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Population 2,431.
There you go. Tim, thanks again for calling. You can join in too, by the way, if you have a question or comment or something to share. What about a Midwest town with a European flair? And you want to tell us about it? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234. Mitch in Green Bay, hello.
Hello. I spoke about Frankenmuth, Michigan. It's in the lower Michigan. It's north of Flint and south of Saginaw. It was one of the original Sunday go to chicken places. They used to have trains come up from Flint and Detroit, and they would it's quite a dramatic thing. They have a little river down in there, and they also have all sorts of. They have one of the original. I think it's the original Christmas house, but it's all towards handcrafts, and mostly it's stuff that came out of Germany.
I think my mother-in-law has purchased Christmas ornaments there.
I've been there, yeah. and Mitch has beautifully described all that's good and ethnic there. I think it's called Michigan's Little Germany because of the Bavarian emphasis.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's got the Bavarian areas in there, and it's also got the beer brewing, both a small brewery. And I went in there in about the late 90s. And they were at one of the early small breweries that started up as versus the big breweries. Although they do have a brewery there that makes Blatt and some of the other what we thought were local Milwaukee brews.
There you go, Frankenmuth, Michigan. I know my mother-in-law, Ione Stouty, purchased some Christmas tree ornaments there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see that they have a beer celebration coming up on July 19th. And much as I love my Wisconsin craft beers, I know that Michigan has
some good ones too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Thanks again, Mitch, for calling. I want to make sure we mention all the towns in your article.
Mm-hmm.
We had Fulton, Illinois was another one I don't believe we've talked about yet, have we?
A big Dutch heritage and big on windmills. In the cultural center, you'll see all types of miniature windmills designed to scale, to replicate the authentic in not just Holland but other European countries, and like Elkhorn, Iowa, Fulton has a huge windmill that faces the Mississippi River. I kept thinking about what a great vantage point you'd have if you, by chance, were on the water and looking over. This windmill's 90 feet tall. It was made just for this little town, made in the Netherlands and then shipped over, sits on top of a river dike along the Great River Trail, which is a good biking, walking trail. What else can I tell you? Well, there's some fun art in the city, too. There's, they call it Big Moo, one of the Chicago cows on parade. Cows, yeah. Ended up in Fulton in the local newspaper office, and a steel fabricator came up with a giant steel figure of a guy fishing, and he's wearing wooden shoes. It's a fun town.
John in Winona, Minnesota. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, we have a community here called Winona, Minnesota, that has a marine art museum where all the artwork has some sort of water theme, marine theme to it. And then besides those wonderful pictures, they have, well, this place belongs to New York or someplace. They have Van Goghs, Monets, incredible masters in there. They must have at least, I bet you, a dozen of well-known artists and artwork in there. And then the other reason I was calling was for just south of us in Pickwick, Minnesota, there's a six-story grist and wheat mill that was in operation. It was built in 1856, is in continuous operation until 1978, and is in still in working order. It's more of a museum now. They don't produce anything now. But that is a very interesting structure to come visit.
Boy, would it ever be.
Yeah, it's everything's operational in there. So all the machinery is in there. All six floors are open to the public.
That's huge. And yes. I think that's a nice addition to the Rolling Stone, Minnesota visit. That...
Right, they're just north of us. We're in the, all in the same, 10 minutes apart all the way around.
Yeah, well, that'd be a nice little trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a great area. Plus, you're on the river here. It's part of that river run that's so gorgeous.
That's true. That Great River Road is a wonderful outing all on its own.
Yeah. Thanks.
And, the second Saturday in September, Pickwick has a Pickwick Day, this second Saturday. There was a machine I'll be operating the wheels. It's got a 20-foot by 4-foot water wheel that operates the whole thing.
Oh, man.
Pretty cool structure. This is pretty cool.
Yeah. John, thank you. When is that again? The second week of September?
Second Saturday.
Second Saturday.
Second Saturday.
All right. Well, that's worth a look, too. Thank you very much for calling in with that. Pickwick Mill, Minnesota. Winona, Minnesota. Well, good places to visit. Scott in Oshkosh. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. See, I just tuned in and I heard a little bleep about Herman, Missouri, and I've been wanting to go down to the Sausage Festival in March down there, and I wondered if your guest might have a little more information.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been there, Scott, but you're giving me a flashback to how, is it Herman that says it has a bigger sausage festival than Sheboygan? I'm not sure.
So, yeah, but that was one of the communities that you wrote about.
Right, yeah. Right. But I've not been there in March for the sausage festival.
Ah, okay.
Okay. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. But that's well.
Maybe I can find something as we're chatting.
Yeah, we can. We'll take a look here and see what we can come up with about the Herman, Missouri Sausage Festival. I'm a connoisseur of sausages too. I love sausages, although I should limit my consumption of them more than I do. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. And of course, when we talk sausages, we tend to think bratwurst, but they're we can go way beyond that.
Yeah. Of Elkhorn and Fulton and Herman and Lindsberg, Kansas. Did we talk about Lindsberg?
Not too much.
Yeah.
That's
the Swedish.
Yeah, the Swedish, and it's about 3,500 population. The town symbol is this Dala horse, which is a simple kind of almost I want to say like a rocking horse cutout, but not as detailed. A symbol of handcrafts from the area, and it's you'll see it also on city garbage trucks, but vehicles that around town, they take that symbol very seriously. They have interesting places for people to stay: a converted wheat house, a tree house, both Scandinavian in design, Swedish Country Inn is big on a breakfast buffet with Swedish rye, pickled herring, porridge, waffles with lingonberry syrup, other things that are considered traditional fare. And in this small town are at least three bakeries that make Swedish pastries, tea ring coffee cakes, that type of thing.
Of these six, are there any of them better suited for families, would you say, or are they all?
I really like that little Spring Grove, Minnesota. I just liked the town square.
So it has a nice town square.
A nice town square with playground equipment, that water park.
Mm-hmm.
had a lot of folks, and I made a point of asking, is it just for local people or can anyone come? Anyone can come for a nominal fee. It is a good stop. You know, with a lot of these communities, as with any community of such a small size, it would be up to the traveler and his or her companions' preferences about whether you stop for a few hours or an overnight. Maybe not so much more than an overnight, unless, like, you know, look at New Glarus. If you were a bicyclist, you can get on the bike path and open yourself up to all types of wonderful things within a few miles, from Monroe to dinner at the dining room at 209 Main in Monticello. Mm-hmm. If you're traveling as a couple especially, that would be really good. I would stop at Spring Grove, Minnesota on a family trip that also took me to Mason City, Iowa, that far away. And Decorah, too, you know, for the earlier caller today who talked about the wonderful Norwegian heritage there. If you want to stay on the theme, those two together would be a lot also. But Mason City, Iowa is a pretty cool town, not necessarily because of ethnic background, but other things. Home to the Music Man. There's a Music Man Square. You know, it's become quite a tourist attraction all on its own. Good for Frank Lloyd Wright buffs, but maybe that's another subject for another time.
Rich in Manitowoc, hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, hello. I think it's not morning anymore, is it?
No, it's good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon then. Yeah, I just want to tell you a little more about Spring Grove. I'm actually from New York City, born and raised, and left there and then went to raise my kids in Austin, Minnesota. And we used to go trout fishing at the park right near Spring Grove, but it's a state park, and it was getting expensive, and it was lots of regulations. And we ended up, I ended up just driving around, and I found Spring Grove. And there's quite a bit about it that you haven't mentioned yet. And one thing is there's a little city park that's nestled right off near the little hotel there, a motel in town. And you just take a right there, and it's just a block away. And no, I shouldn't even be saying this, although I don't go there that much anymore now that I'm over in Two Rivers in Manitowoc area. But what the city park, no one knows about it. My brother and I been going there whenever we want, and it's, you know, $5-$10 a night. It's just you just leave the money in the envelope, and you can fit a full-size RV in there. And the only problem, I think, why people don't utilize it or they don't know about it is because of the fact that you have to go during City Hall hours to get to pay, you know.
To pay the money. all right. Well, you know what? I wish we had more time to talk about it, but I thank you very much for calling. So a little more information about Spring Grove, apparently a very nice city park.
Mm-hmm.
Little known. Well, and these towns that you wrote about, Mary, are, you know, in some ways are little known. They're smaller towns and don't have the marketing budget that some of their neighbors might. So it's kind of good that you were, kind of great actually, that you're able to write about these towns and let us know about them.
Thanks. The older I get, the more I think of this as being my little subspecialty that I want to develop. I see a lot in the travel writing business, and
yeah,
I think that there's a lot that's good that isn't.
And what's your website, by the way?
My website is roadstraveled.com.
Roadstraveled.com. Go there to look for that article and a lot more from our guest today, Mary Bergen. And by the way, thank you very much for listening and stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.